And I didn't come to tickle your ears today. I came to challenge you to think about this. I always like it when the Holy Spirit gives us a verse to start our gathering with, because it just seems to be so timely. It seems to be so appropriate, because it always ministers to us. And this is a portion of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 18. That's a little bit more than it might usually be. That's why sometimes I can't call it opening scripture anymore, because sometimes it's plural. But it's all at least together in one portion. And this letter was from Paul. Paul talked a lot about our walk in the Lord. One of the least popular things is every time he wrote, he kept telling people, you need to learn to die to yourself. You need to renew your minds to the Word, so that in any given situation you find yourself in, God has a Word for you to help you through that time. And in this situation, how appropriate the Holy Spirit would give this first verse to Paul. The God who said, out of darkness the light shall shine. And I had a flashback, and I'm sure Paul did too, when he was riding on his horse and the light shined. And he took a little tumble, didn't he? Come down off of your high horses. That's where that phrase came from. Did you know that? You get all puffed up in pride and how great I am. Bam, you're ready for a fall. Pray for a soft landing. So he says, out of darkness the light shall shine. I have this in the Good News Translation. It's the same God who made his light to shine in our hearts, to bring unto us the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Christ. Verse 7. Yet we who have the spiritual treasure are like common clay pots, in order to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. We are often troubled, but not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times, we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life also may be seen in our bodies. Throughout our lives, we are always in danger of death for Jesus' sake, in order that his life may be seen in this mortal body of ours. This means that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And this is a reference to those who bring the gospel, who share the gospel, because he wrote as an apostle to the church at Corinth, and he's speaking from personal experience that those who, that's their call in life, it's their passion in life, and it's very important to know that we're not in it to play the happy popular game. I could never be here if it was a job. I'd never ever consider this as a job. It would suck. I'd have to have left 38 years ago. It's a call on your life, but it costs you your life. And when you share the hope of the gospel, what it costs you is you suddenly realize that the life of other people is more important than your own. And so it's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of giving of yourself. It's a life that he's poured out his life for us, as Jesus did. And Paul was a classic example. And I haven't quite got to the end of these yet. Verse 13, the scripture says, I spoke because I believed. Now, David said that, and I have some notes that I'm coming back to. In the same spirit of faith, we also speak. Why? Because we believe. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus to life, will also raise us up with Jesus and take us together with you into his presence. If you came to hear some bad news today, I don't have any. I'm sorry, you came to the wrong place. You came to the church of good news. All this is for your sake, And as God's grace reaches more and more people, they will offer to the glory of God more prayers of thanksgiving. And he says, for this reason, we never become discouraged, even though our physical being is gradually decaying. I just call it our earth suits. You know, that's an in-house saying, because we all know what our earth suits are. You know, that's the part that's it's gradually dying, but the inner man is renewed every day. And he says, yet our spiritual being is renewed day by day. And the small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. And that's the scriptures from the New Living Translation. And I have a few notes. Going back to verse 6. The God who said, out of darkness the light shall shine. And I have a scripture reference, two of them. Acts 8, verses 3 through 5. And that's Paul's conversion. And listen to this. As Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, suddenly a light from the sky flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And the first thing he said, who are you, comma, Lord? I don't know if you got that when you read it before, but out of Paul's mouth, he called Jesus Lord for the first time in his life, and I thought that was so cool. How quick that light brought in awareness. You know, he was taking Christians to Damascus to be put in prison for their faith. And all of a sudden, that light, see, when he's talking about the light shining in a dark place, that's his testimony of how that light came in a dark place, his heart. He thought he was doing God a favor, lock up all these radical Christians. They're just making a turmoil in the land. We need to just go put them away someplace. We can get them out of our hair. We like our religion. We like our program. We like all this and that. And all of a sudden, that light that he's talking about shined into his heart. And suddenly, right out of nowhere, he's calling Jesus Lord. That is just awesome. And he said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus answered, I am Jesus whom you persecute, the voice said. And that's really important because I don't think as Saul of Tarsus, he didn't see the Christians as Jesus. You know, our life reflects his likeness. And that was the whole point of this letter, to remind the Corinthians all the persecution and all the anguish that came to them. They came out of a life of worshiping idols, statues, stones, gods and goddesses, all the culture of the day. And they were confronted with the truth of the gospel. Paul was confronted with a personal encounter with the Lord, just like you and I. It might not have been a tangible light that you saw, but it was a revelation. And that happened to me on the golf course at exactly the same time that Faith was giving her life to Christ 3 miles away in a mobile home. And I had no foreknowledge of that. But the Holy Spirit came upon me so powerfully and strongly on that golf course. I could have been like Paul. I would have been in favor of what he was doing. I didn't want to play Andy, some of the people we knew in Bufa. We used to call Bellas Falls Bufa. You know, and all the people I was associating with. And they got saved and wanted me to come and play with them in their band. And I said, nothing doing. You guys are all whacked. You're crazy. Just give me another joint. Give me another hit of acid or whatever. But suddenly on that golf course, all those years later, in Naples, Florida, that's when the Holy Spirit suddenly came upon me. Out there, I had 300 acres and not another person around, so I knew there was nobody. I just knew that there wasn't anybody speaking to me in a tangible voice, but I knew that it was the Holy Spirit that was softening my heart at exactly the same time that Faith was getting saved. I mean, that. So when Paul talks about this light, suddenly he was birthed with an understanding. God put that understanding, that revelation inside of him. Paul, every time you go around and you're persecuting my people, you're doing it to me. And boy, what a revelation that was. And he spent another 14 years privately communing with this Jesus whom he persecuted all those years. If you study his life right after he got saved, it's all intertwined in the letters that he's written, but it's there for our learning from, to spend the rest of our days learning who he really is, not just about him, but coming to know him as the Savior that he really is, who does identify with us, who does share our hurts. He knows. Look what they did to him at Calvary. You know, he knows pain. He knows suffering. And he can relate to every one of us in our times of need. And so then, these are just verses that came to me as I was putting these things together. And here's the second one, Romans 5:5. Get a grip on this one. This hope does not disappoint us. How many of you have your hoper filled? How many times have you heard me say, keep your hoper filled? Like your hope just for heaven. You know, you had a hope just for marriage and you stash things away for that day. Well, you know, Christians have a hoper, a hope chest. The things you stash for eternity, the things that you value more than anything else in this earth, anything else that this life could offer you, you have that on the inside of you, and don't ever lose it. Don't let the devil rob you of your hope. Your hope does not disappoint. Your hope brings you joy. It brings you gladness when the crap is flying every which way but loose. You've got that hope. Don preached about the anchor holes, what he shared last week. And we're talking about the same thing. And so this hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. Yeah. Terry, you brought up the Holy Spirit this morning. You're not here by accident. You're right. You know, you've come. We're used to how God just connects all these things when we come together. It's like it's inescapable. We come here and we come with an expectation. We come with a hope and we come with a knowledge to know that God is always faithful to us. Wherever we gather, however many meetings we have during the week, he's with us and he's here by the Spirit. And he brings all of these things together. I have a part. You have a part. You have a part. I don't have everything. I don't have to come here and be the only spokesperson for the Lord. We got a whole room. Y'all turning into radical preachers and encouragers. I don't know what's happened to this place over all these years, but I'm kind of liking it. I kind of like hanging out with you guys. It's pretty cool. But I'm not done with my notes. Just remember, when you can't love somebody, that's because you're only looking at you. When you can't forgive somebody, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. And that's the truth. You got to fess up to it. Because you have to take the first step and God will do the rest. You have to make the first move sometime to let people know that you love them, that you care about them. And you know what? There's a reservoir down on the inside of you. We've been studying the manifestations of the Holy Spirit for more than a year. Now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of God's indwelling presence. And every one of those that are listed, love is one of the first ones. Love, joy, peace. But then when he gets to long suffering, we kind of stumble over that one because it's hard to talk about it. The truth of the matter is you may have to suffer for a while. It's not going the way you'd like it to be. But you can't just stop at the cross. You've got to look beyond it. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. You and I have to look beyond the mess we're in, the situation that we're in, and we've got to see joy in it. Because even David, when he wrote in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you've got to look beyond where you are today to see the other side of it, because God has already purposed to take you to the other side of it in victory. And Paul wrote words of being more than a conqueror, being more than an overcomer, a winner. And you're above and not beneath. And you know, my word tells me from the book of Ephesians that he's already raised us up together too, and that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ at the right hand of the Father. You can't go wrong with those kind of hopes. Those are solid. They're biblical. And everything can be falling apart all around us, but we're reminded, we have to keep reminding each other, there's something greater. The greater one dwells within you. And so what if people make fun of the Holy Spirit? Let them. One day they'll give an account, and maybe they'll have a Damascus Road experience to shake them out of that. I'll tell you, if I can get saved, Brad got saved. Well, there's hope for everybody in this. He and I have a story. We just go at each other. We have so much fun together. We can't sit in the same room together. Because it comes from all of us. But you have the love. You have that kind of love down on the inside of you. And to me, it's like a reservoir. It's like Jesus gave us living water. That's the reservoir. It's the Holy Spirit. And when we can't love in our natural, when we can't find joy, when we don't have peace, we're looking in all the wrong places. Look within. Look within the person of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. You may not always be able to get a recording of the service. You may not be able to have access to any of those things. David found a way in the cave to worship the Lord. He couldn't get TBN that day. The satellite was down. You know, you have to learn these things for your victories. Because he's equipped us. He's enabled us. He's empowered us. And it's on the inside of you. Man, I remember talking about the Holy Spirit when we were used to do those Lenten services, and I secretly wore a Superman shirt. I bought it from Amazon. And I was all gussied up. I had a tie and a nice shirt and presentable. I didn't shave, but I was presentable. And I talked about the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I got to the end of the word, and I said, please excuse me. And I turned around, and I ripped off the shirt, and I said, ta-da! And everybody saw the Superman shirt right in the church. Ooh, what a blasphemous thing to do, you know? And the religious folks thought that, but suddenly they got it. You're Supermen and women because of who lives in you. These are powerful words that Paul wrote. Now, you see, I couldn't stop with just one verse. And this thing about, at all times we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life also may be seen in our bodies. Paul is always talking to us about learning to die to self. And it's a hard thing to do sometimes, because people who love Facebook, they love the selfies. You know, but life is more than selfies. If you see just yourself, you're missing something. You know, you go in and look in the mirror, and yes, you see your reflection, but you need to look a little deeper. Get to love the new you, because you're not the same you used to be. You're now in him, and you bear his nature, you bear his character. And everywhere you go, people may say, yeah, they're really out there, they're kind of strange, but we bring his presence everywhere we go. It's so valuable. And I had a note that I marked about that one. Learning to die to self, as Paul often taught the new believers, is of great value. Can you imagine what life is if it was only limited to how we feel about stuff? Our feelings? My gosh. Feelings are so deceitful. I can feel really bad today, and it could be 100 reasons for it. But in the Lord, I'm not giving in to that. We have to learn to take authority over those things. Our body is just the earth suit, but it shells. It houses the real you. Paul talked about that as the inner man. The real you inside the earth suit. And he just wants to live his life through you. That's why he talked about the vessels. Clay pots. And I've heard a lot of teaching about that. If you want to draw out of the clay pot, you got to crack it. And it leaks. Learn to be leaky. Leaky Louie. Let it out. Let me see. Oh, I must have had more notes than that. Is that all I wrote? No, that's not all I wrote. Well, I have one more note. About David, and Paul was quoting him, the scripture says, I spoke because I believed. And he made that reference. And all of a sudden, when Paul had that experience on the Damascus Road, how suddenly he had to become dependent on the very ones that he was persecuting. Imagine that, what a concept. He stayed blind, but he was told where to go. So specifically by the Holy Spirit, we talked about words of knowledge, words of wisdom. But you know, Ananias was given the same thing, that this rascal that used to be Saul of Tarsus was coming for a visit. And you're going to take him in to your house. But Lord, you don't know what he's done. Do you know the rap sheet on this guy? Yeah, but I'll take care of that. Just do what I tell you to do. And this is another lesson. Look a little deeper when you read scriptures like that. We need to be dependent on each other in the Lord. I don't know very many solo artists that walk around and they think that they don't need anybody. Jesus, when he prayed that as the Father was in him and he in the Father, that the two would be one. But he also prayed for the believers that would come, that we also would be one in him and he in us and we in each other. Because we're the body, and the body all functions together. It all comes together very beautifully. So take heart. This is a good portion of scripture. It might not be necessarily, it's not a feel-good message in the sense of there's just things that we have to die to that used to lord over us, and we don't have to let them anymore. They serve a higher Lord, and we need to submit those things to that higher authority. Amen. And it's not a doorknob. I'm not opposed to AA, but Jesus ain't a doorknob. I'll stop there.